Okay, that's the lecture on contact modalities. And now we're going to go to questions. And to ask the questions, I'm going to bring in my assistant, Desta Barnaby, who's actually the co-author of the book. And she's going to come up with some of the questions that are being thrown around. And I should point out that Desta was a big part of many of these contact modalities, especially the channeling modality, the hypnosis modality. She has spent a great portion of her life working on these different modalities. So it was a great pleasure to work on the book with her and to put all these modalities, 70 plus modalities, into the book. So go ahead, Desta, and let's go through the questions.
Thank you, Grant. Okay, so the first question here is, you mentioned that the state of consciousness that one finds himself in while they're trying to practice or do some of these contact modalities is called getting into the field. So can you please briefly explain what it feels like once you are in the field?
Okay, if we go to look at people who have been in the field, they'll always say it was more real than the real world. Which implies that the physical world is real. But when you get into this whole thing, you start to realize it's all consciousness. And this, when you get into the field, you're entering into what I consider to be non-local reality, and it's all non-local reality. But you leave sort of this conscious plane and you enter into a different vibration, different area. The more I look at it, the more I think it's all one thing. It's all here. It's all now. There is no time. There is no space. It's all like a deck of cards stacked on top of each other. So you are in it. You're just in a different vibration or a different level. And you get there by changing your vibration, by head injuries, by trauma, by all these different ways. But people will, when they're in it and they're getting material, they'll talk about noetic material. In other words, basically the way to describe that is like they're talking to God. Like I just know. And I will come up against people and I'll say, well, how do you know that what you got? Because 40% of people will say, I knew the answer to everything in the universe. And I'll say, well, how are you sure of that? How do you know that? How do you know there wasn't number 6, 7, 8 on the far side of the universe that they forgot to tell you about? And everybody says the same thing. I'm not sure. I just know I knew everything at one point and I lost it. So it's this noetic material is defined by, it's more real. It's ultimate knowledge. Like you don't have to question it. It's almost like if I were to say to you, okay, who's your first boyfriend or girlfriend? And a name pops into your head. And then I say, where did that name come from? And how do you know that's right? And people go, I know it's right. Don't question if I'm right. And it just pops in. We don't know how that material is coming in, but I would, at the bottom line, I would say it's all the same thing. You're just in a different vibration. It's all here. It's all now. And a lot of the experiencers are telling us that. For example, Nancy Tremaine, when I asked her to talk to the beings and ask them, are you actually aliens? She asked them and they said, we are not alien to this planet or any other planet. We've always been here. When I interviewed the beings in London, England, called themselves the beings, wanted an interview with me. They basically said, we've always been here. You're the visitor. And that goes to this implication that it's all here. It's all now. They may not be coming from anywhere. So when you have a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, you aren't going anywhere. You're going inside yourself, that it's all this same reality. And that's the, where we get the wrong blocks, where we sort of assume there's our objects here, there. We have to always remember that everything that's happening is happening inside your consciousness. It's coming to your eyes, ears, and stuff. And it's there. Now, where is that actually happening? People think it's in their head, but based upon contact modalities like near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, abduction experiences, we're now starting to realize, no, it may not be anywhere. It may just be a different level of reality that's caused by vibration or whatever it is. It's all one thing. Everything is consciousness. That's the bottom line. There is nothing, or as Deepak Chopra says, everything is an activity inside consciousness. So you cannot escape that. Everything is happening inside your consciousness.
Okay, so you did bring up the noetic experience, and I've been asked before from people if you think that a download is the same as being given as the noetic experience. And I guess to back that up, maybe explain if you think that the field is literally information that's like, what is the field? Where is the information sitting? Where are you pulling it out of? What exactly is the field? where the noetic experience or the download information would be coming from.
Okay. I used to call them, when I first had my experience in 2013, where this consciousness, these three elements of consciousness, like a piece of a puzzle, is all stuck together instantaneously in my head. And I suddenly went, oh, that's how it works. It was like came with instant knowledge. I called them downloads. Then when I did more research, when you and I were doing the book research on contact modalities, I started to study that this modality stuff had been done forever. Like William James, the father of American psychology, used to use laughing gas, and he used to get into the field by using laughing gas. And he defined this thing of noetic, that noetic means it, this knowledge. It's not just information. It's absolute. It comes with absolute certainty, this knowledge thing. So now I call it noetic material, and it's defined by this fact that it's, you have this sense of absolute certainty. Now, what was the second part of your question?
So is the field, where do you, do you think the field, or where is it?
Okay. So that's the idea, is if you're a psychic and you've had some precognitive material. So if you were to tell me, okay, tomorrow you're going to have a car accident, I have a car accident, then you suddenly realize something's wrong with time. I mean, that shouldn't happen. I mean, is there such a thing as time? So if we start looking at the fact that there may not be time and space, or as Einstein said, time is a persistent illusion, we start to realize that and realize it's all one thing, then we start to understand this thing about people saying they understood everything in the universe, that if there's no time and space, then there's no future. There's no future inventions. All the future inventions, all the past stuff, all the present stuff is in the field. And you go in there and it's all here. It's all now. There is only one thing. And that's how you can pull this stuff out. And that's how psychics do it, is you think, well, you're going into the future, but you're not. You're going into the field. And if there's no time and space and it's all one thing, everything's already in the field, and it's the ability to access the field. So the contact modality idea is, contact modalities are ways to rip the veil, to get into the field and try to bring this stuff back. Now, people will describe having problems bringing this stuff back. They'll say, oh, I was trying to remember it, and it sort of disappeared like a dream. And that comes to this whole idea that it is hard to bring it back into this plane, because as soon as you, for example, and you've had this experience where you have it just before you go to sleep or just before you wake up, if you look at Russell Targ talked about this, where trying to remember dreams and precognitive things. He said, when you wake up, what you have to remember is that your left brain is going to come back online and it's going to shut the filter. So when he says, when you have something in your head, whether it's a dream or whether it's something precognitive, do not move. Do not move a finger. Do not move anything. Because as soon as you move your finger, the left brain says, uh-oh, Desta's coming back online. Let's go. And it starts to close the filter. Or so you have to sit there very quietly, remember exactly what it is you want to write down, and then get up and write as fast as you can to get the material, because it's going to leak out just like a dream or like water going down a toilet. So it's this idea of all the material being there, accessing it and bringing it back. And there are different modalities for doing it. Or if you take a look at Deepak Chopra, I found this out and found it very interesting. Deepak Chopra has written 90 plus books. So Deepak Chopra says, he tells where he got the 90 books from. He said, and everybody knows that Deepak meditates first thing in the morning before the sun comes up, but he does something before he meditates. He says, when I wake up, I remain very quiet and I just stare at the ceiling for 30 minutes. And whatever comes into my head, I write down. That's where the 90 books comes from. It all comes from what comes in his head as he lies in the bed 30 minutes after he wakes up. And that's the thing is this ability that everybody's got the ability to do it. And some people are better than other people at it, but there is a modality. And I think we're starting to learn that now. We're starting to learn it's not accidental. There are modalities that you can learn. And I think you have done that yourself. You've done a lot of training where you've gone out and you've looked at other people, how do you do this? And they train you, do this. Or even with you, you had a being actually come and said you were having a hard time trying to get into the field to do the channeling thing. And the being comes up and says, oh, you want to know what it's like? Puts his hand on your shoulder and says, this is what it's like. And then you felt the going into theta, you felt your brain going into theta. And then the next time you remembered how it was done. So you can actually get help from the field. And that's this idea of the download, that we think that we're alone. But if you can tap into the field, there are beings, whether it be alien beings or spirits or whatever, who are able to help us, that are there being altruistic and helping us get this material. But you've got to be open, you've got to be quiet to get in the field, and you will get help. And everybody can do it. And there are, as we pointed out, we did in the book, we had like 70 some, and there was modalities that we didn't even do. Ones that came up later was the one I didn't know about, the thing about in Thailand, they have the houses where people go in for 12 days and they're completely in the dark for 12 days. And after 4 days, they start having these experiences where they start to go in the field and they start having these impressions of stuff. So it's the basically, I guess the bottom line would be to be able to shut the left brain down, to either quiet it, get it out of the way, make it go for coffee. And there's many ways to do it. And once the left brain is shut down, then you can pick up the signal. The signal is there for everybody. Everybody can access the signal, but everybody's so busy with their left brain talking to themselves and listening to themselves and in the physical world that they can't pick up the signal.
So what do you think the explanation would be behind, I think you wrote about this a little bit in the book Inspired, but you said that there's multiple like inventors that were on the verge of having an invention, and whether they were in France or Switzerland or England or something, they all seem to have gotten the idea maybe at the exact same time and then went to the patent office at the same time. So how do you think they're getting into the field, or what do you think the explanation behind that would be?
Yeah, I think there's this idea that everybody's sort of rising in consciousness at the same time, and that everybody's talking. That's the idea behind talking about your experience or whatever, is that the more people talk about things, and you hear these figures, 10%, all you need is 10% of people to believe something and it will flip the consciousness and everybody will move. And I think it's the same thing with inventions, that people are in that aspect. So you're not going to get an invention from the 23rd century or whatever, because nobody's consciousness is there. But as the consciousnesses all rise, and that was bizarre. I mean, I discovered that. I will do that whole chapter on contact modalities. When you start looking at how many, I think it was oxygen, had 6 people all at the same time came up with the invention, or the one with the telephone, that Graham Bell filed his patent in the morning and a woman filed the same patent in the afternoon. And it's this idea that the consciousness and everybody's on the very edge, just sort of bubbling through and coming back or whatever. And that all these ideas seem to come at the same time, that as consciousness rises, these ideas will flow into the physical world.
Good. So what would a good place, or where do you think a good place to start for a brand new person coming into this area, this topic or whatever, contact modalities, and they want to start practicing something, where do you think a good place for them to start would be?
Well, I guess what you have to start is probably the meditation would be the thing, is you have to understand this concept that you're cutting the signal off with your thinking. And people find it very hard to meditate, but even the concept will get you at least in the right frame of mind, that you realize that you have to stop the noise. You have to clear the thing, that it's almost like Wi-Fi signals, TV signals, all these signals are there all the time, but you need the receiver to pick it up. And the receiver you're using is, I think, the right brain. And that's the concept that we brought up in the book, is that it all comes down to shutting the left brain down, which is the male rational analytical brain, which can do minor calculations or whatever. But if you get like savants where you can shut that off, savants, they will tap into the right brain, and you can ask them, you can ask them what's 2 + 3, and they can't tell you. But if you ask them what day in July the 11th, 94,333 is, they'll tell you like, oh, that's a Tuesday. And they know that. So it's this concept of learning how to shut the left brain down. And meditation, I'd be the same thing. Although I think a lot of people have a modality. They just got to sort of figure out, when have you been intuitive? When have you had some, because everybody I think has had some sort of insight thing where they've realized something they picked up something, or this idea that I talked about, like, where does consciousness come? Where does the words come from? I talk very fast, and I make this joke. I talk very, very fast. And anybody who thinks that there's neurons that are having a meeting and putting words into the sentence, and that there's a little neuron with a little bun on her head that's a former school teacher that's doing the grammar, is absolutely insane. This stuff is flowing out of the field. We're all channeling all the time. We're just channeling at a very low level. But as with you, with me, everybody, I don't know what I'm going to say in 15 seconds, but I know something's going to come in my head in 15 seconds and it's going to come in there. And that's the big mystery, is where that stuff's coming from. And science has just sort of relegated it to, oh, it just happens. Don't worry about it. It just comes in. The cell just divides. And it's like, really? I mean, seriously, when you actually go, and I describe this with the whole thing that we take so much for granted, what happens is that science actually, what you see them doing is they say, they're actually describing. They say, we're explaining to you what's happening. And no, you're describing what's happening. It's like Moses and the Red Sea. Moses took his staff. He went down to the edge of the Red Sea, touched the water, and the wind came up and the water started to open, and the ground dried, and the children of Israel went through, and then he touched it on the other side and it closed up. And it's like, yeah, wonderful. That's a wonderful little story. Now tell me how he did the trick. And it's the same thing. People say, oh, the neurons are just you're doing this and they're doing that. And almost like meditating. I could say to people on meditation, I would do a meditation. And there's like 20 different types of meditation. So all the people will do different types of meditation. And it's like, okay, so why did you do this meditation? And what you'll see, different types of meditations will produce different brain patterns. Well, who's doing the meditating? Who's telling the brain to do the meditating? It's you tell your brain, okay, do compassion meditation or awareness meditation or whatever. And all the blood starts to flow. The blood says, okay, let's go this way. And the brain starts to move, and then the blood goes, and this lights up and that goes down. And it's not anything's lighting up. It's just the blood flow. There's more blood flow to the area of the brain that is active and less to the other one, but somebody's making the blood flow. We always leave this out. We're sort of like, almost like we've changed God with random accidents. And I don't believe there's any random accidents. When you start looking at the brain and the mind, you realize it's this magnificent world that has all these potentials, and that if you can learn to do it, as we're starting to do now with you, with channeling and with all these kind of things, that you can actually get in there. And as when you first started with the channeling, I said to you, okay, ask him this, ask him that. And that's what you can do. You can actually pose these questions, the same as with lucid dreaming people. It's one of the modalities, most powerful modalities that we talked about in the book. And that is that people in a lucid dream, if you can be in a lucid dream and you realize you're awake in the dream, you can start asking questions and you will get an answer. It will start giving you answers. You're in the field, and people don't realize this, that they just sort of assume that this stuff's all happening. Very, very powerful. Once you learn the principle of contact modalities, that everything, if this is true, if everything's here now in one place, everything's in the field, everything that you need is there. You can get the answer to ever, whatever you want. It's the ability to access the field, to rip in the veil, to get in there, and then importantly, to bring it back without losing it as you're bringing it back through. Almost like DMT. People will always talk about, you know, psychedelic experiences. It's very hard to bring this stuff back. And they'll say, oh, it's because it's coming from the sixth dimension. I say, no, it's not coming from the sixth dimension. It is that once you come back online, the filter is shutting and all that material is left behind. The same as a dream, the same as a download stuff. You have to learn how to get in the field and how to keep that filter open as you're bringing the material back into your conscious mind.
So do you think that there is any specific benefits for people to get into this state, to get into the field? You hear about, you know, we know people that do some of these big, gigantic mass meditations, and the same time at the same day, there's could be hundreds of thousands of people all over the world that are doing a meditation with the same intention behind it. So if this meditation state is bringing the people into the field, then what do you think the benefit for humanity in general would be for more people doing this practice more often?
Yeah, well, just that idea that if we all are on the same wavelength, or this idea of being positive. That if we can change the attitude of people to a positive rather than a negative thing, it's the old idea that you manifest what happens. We sort of think that we're like corks floating down a stream, and Hillary Clinton's after us and God's after us, and we're getting dealt all bad cards and stuff like that. And the physicist who came up with the black hole and wormhole theory, now I'm gonna forget his name, Wheeler. John Wheeler said it's a participatory universe. And that's the other thing that people seem to forget, is that you are manifesting what's happening in front of you. Even if you go back to the early quantum physics things, where they talked about this Copenhagen interpretation, where you that nothing comes into the physical world until it's observed. And people go, well, that's totally crazy. But these were the original guys. And then what we did is we changed it, almost like we're changing the present thing with UFOs. So what happened was there was all these philosophical implications that the observer was creating reality. And we could have gone with that and gone down the philosophical road. And what we did is cut it off and said, nobody talks about the Copenhagen interpretation. We don't want to hear anything philosophical. Just use the calculations and make cell phones out of it. And that's exactly what's happened. We've just had a release by the UAP task force. And that's what you see there as well, is do not talk about the aliens. Do not talk about the philosophical implications of the UFO stuff. Do not get, as I call it, do not bring up the Jacques Vallée interpretation. Just shut up and calculate. Yet we need the technology here. Get the calculations as to what these UFOs are doing, how they're flying around. Don't get the implication of why they're here, what's going on. And we do this all the time because it's a very materialistic universe. All we want is, you know, money. We want two houses instead of one house, three cars instead of two cars. We want all this kind of stuff because that's the way it works. It's like whoever's got the most toys when they die wins. It's like a football game. Winning is the ultimate thing. And it's like a game. Who can win the most games? Who can do this kind of stuff? And we sort of forget this idea that we are manifesting reality. And so when we all get very negative, we, and almost like the COVID thing or some of this sort of stuff, you get into this idea that we get into in this sort of woo world of materializing your environment, is that whatever is happening, we brought it on ourselves. We all manifested this stuff for whatever reason, but we want to separate it into good stuff and bad stuff. There's just give me the good stuff. Don't give me the bad stuff. And we don't realize that the bad stuff we have placed in front of us, almost like the expression, you place the stones in your own path. And we do it because there is no good and no bad. It's all just experience. And that we are placing these things in here to learn lessons. And whatever happens to you, I always bring up the fact that whatever it is, you and I both chose to be here at this time and this place in whatever mess we're complaining about. And maybe we chose to be here at this time in this place in the middle of this mess. Perhaps we came for a reason to help the mess, that we are here to do something instead of complaining and being the victim in the whole thing, that we have to realize we are part of what is happening. And that when we change the manifestation in our thought pattern, we will change the world.
So you kind of touched on this for a second here, but let me ask, you started your career in ufology, I guess, doing documents, government documents, and finding out things like that in a more nuts and bolts kind of area. And now you've kind of moved on to consciousness. So with all this disclosure talk now, and June 25th being yesterday and disclosure day, what do you think is the consciousness more important to humanity and to everything about this topic right now? Or do you think it is the nuts and bolts? What should they be looking at?
I used to believe it was the nuts and bolts. I spent, I guess, 40 years looking at the nuts and bolts thing. And as I always describe, and where I talked about this thing, that sometimes you get a help from the field. That you, whether it's you in the field or higher self or whoever, that you sort of get it. Because when I had the download experience, it's the same as the UFO experience. I didn't intend to have a UFO experience. I had no interest in UFOs. I had no interest in consciousness, as I described in 2012. I couldn't have spelled the word and couldn't have cared less. I was in the room with Colin Andrews where he's talking about crop circles and consciousness. And this just came into my head and it was noetic. It was like, this is how it works for 2 days. I just couldn't believe it. It was like, oh, I figured it out. It is how it works. And so I remember Jerry Pippin, who was a big researcher, a broadcaster at the time, said, I can't believe you've done this. I can't believe you've gone from the, you were the president guy, man. You had all the documents. I can't believe you've gone from that to this. I mean, I can't believe you did this. And I said, well, Jerry, I didn't actually go there. I was kind of teleported there. And that's the thing, is that I've made these moves by being shifted by something, whether it, and sometimes I don't think it was me. It was like, you know, you'd think it was a random chance or whatever, but you have these noetic events where suddenly everything shifts. And that's when I got into the consciousness thing. And what had happened was in 2015, I was in the nuts and bolts thing. So the second night, I remember I saw this thing, it came right at us the second night, and then it made the turn and I was just flying away. I'm watching this thing fly away and I thought, but what's it doing? It's not doing anything. It was so weird. It was like, what's it doing? And then I said, when I tried to publish the book, nobody published the book. And then I said, well, I don't know what's going on here, but somebody's got to know what's going on here. And I'm going to find out. So I started, that's what I did. I chased all the big names and the high level officials and stuff like that to find out what was going on. And then in 2013, what came with this consciousness thing is, this is the answer to your question in 1975. You want to know what's going on? What is this thing doing? This is it. And it sort of awakened me. And I started down that road. And once you get on the right road, and I've had the two major downloads, one was 2012, one was 2017. And I think you'd agree, the material that you get in your through your channeling, it's never wrong. I 2017, I the 2013, I had three things. In 2017, I had 24 things that sort of came to me. Nothing that I was told has ever turned out to be wrong. It's, I didn't understand it. Like the consciousness thing, I thought it was just consciousness. I didn't realize it was non-local consciousness. And as I went along, it was like they put in more pieces and explained what the consciousness was all about. So it was never wrong. All the 2017 stuff I got is all turned out to be true. And that's where you start to rely on this noetic material. So the consciousness stuff is the key thing. And that's what moves us ahead. Even if you look at books, we do the book thing and the download stuff with books. People have no idea how many books, whether it's the Law of One or Seth or the Harry Potter books, Wizard of Oz, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of the AA, which came off on a Ouija board. And people don't realize this. They think, oh, these smart people are figuring this stuff out. And no, these people are getting this stuff out of the field. It's popping into their head. And when you start to realize that, then you can start to access it and start to understand that it's this very weird world where everything is in the field. And that's the important thing. Everything is here and now. Everything's in the field. And it's the ability to access the field, to get in there and get the answers to your need. Whereas most people are into worrying about the past, they're depressed about the past, or they're anxious about the future. The thing is to be in the here, the now, quiet the brain, quiet the left brain, and you will go eventually into the field. And if you're not intended, maybe you're in a situation where this is not your life. That may be a lifetime down the road, that everybody has a plan they came into. Maybe you just came here to learn envy or greed or how to stay married or whatever it is. And that's where I say that you and I are in a very bad position, because if you have been given this stuff and you've been in the field and you get the information, it's not ours to sell. It's up to us. As the Bible says, too much is given, much is expected. And Edgar Casey said, knowledge not used is sin. These are things that have dominated my whole life, is the idea that when you have the answer, it's incumbent upon you. That's why I came. That's what I'm in the world for. I came into the middle of this mess. This is my job. You start to realize I have a job to do. And then you get a on top of it. And that's when you become happy, because then you're helping the world. You're in the field or whatever. You're not worrying about the past. You're not worried about the future. You're into what the beings, I think all the beings, whether it's spiritual beings or aliens, they always say, well, why would they come in and help us? Because that's the way the world works. It's altruistic. Everybody's trying to make the world a better place. All the cells are working together to try to make the body healthy. When you cut your finger, all the cells work together to cut to heal the cut. And we have this idea of rape, pillage, kill, and steal. It's about grabbing stuff. And we don't realize it's all altruistic, that we are the only thing in the universe that is not altruistic, that's trying to make it better. We're trying to, you know, be the cancer cell and do our own thing and gather as much as we can. And we really don't care about the other cells and stuff like that. So there's all these philosophical, when you start looking at the UFO thing, people think it's just UFOs. And you and I both know that when you start looking at UFOs, paranormal phenomena, it always comes back to the question of, how does the universe work? You know, what's God? And all these various philosophical, that's where it always ends up, is because it's these anomalies that show you that the world is not what you think it is. And it's more magnificent, stranger. It's 1,000 times more stranger than you think. And you start to get very curious about it and realize that you have a part in this whole thing and you try to do what you can. So I feel very honored. But then the thing is, I always say that when you leave the world, you only get asked one question, and that is, how did it work out? And according to Michael Newton, all 7,000 people that he regressed said the same thing. Oh, I could have done better. And that's the whole thing. So we have to look at what can we do more? What can we do? And I think you will agree with me that when you're helping people, you feel really good. When you do something, you feel really good. And you don't really, if you steal something or do whatever, you may feel that you got something, but it'll always bother you. It's this altruistic thing that we have to work like the rest of the universe, like the aliens. That's why they're here. They're here to make it a better place. They're on a mission. The same with the spirits and these type of things, that we're getting help. And it's up to us to pass on what we've got without really trying to charge for it, without trying to turn it into what I call materialistic spirituality, which is happening now that the UFO thing is hot. Everybody goes, oh, we can make some money on this now. And everybody's starting to cash in and starting to charge. And I say, well, how can you charge people for spiritual enlightenment? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Okay, last question. We just have maybe 2 minutes left here. So the beginning part of contact modalities is mostly based on all the scientific evidence that you found, a lot of CAT scans and brain scans and stuff. So what do you think your most compelling piece of evidence that you found was that you could bring to the general population and kind of prove that there's something behind people that either say they're mediums or channelers or meditators? Mm-hmm. What's your biggest piece of
evidence? What I would show is the stuff that we did with the brain scans and the fMRIs. They were done at Jefferson University in Philadelphia, I think it is. And what they do is, so everybody is like, you're channeling. And they'll say, oh, Dusta, she's just making it up. She's just making it up in her head, you know. And what they did is they took all the channelers and they put them in fMRI machines. And they looked at the brain pattern. And all channelers produced the same brain pattern. And then they put the mediums in. And the mediums would do their medium thing. And they would produce a medium pattern, not a channeling pattern, a different pattern. And then they put the praying people in there. And they would produce a certain brain pattern where the blood is all flowing in one direction. It's all doing the same thing. Then they'd bring in the meditators. And they'd bring in all these different people. And they went through all of them. The healing people, when they heal people. Okay, do a remote healing. And they're in the fMRI. And they produce this brain pattern, which shows whatever is happening, these people aren't making it up. They're actually doing whatever they say they're doing. And that's very powerful material in terms of showing that something's even happening. And you can even use stuff, but it's very expensive. So, you know, that I went and we were looking at people that suddenly started doing light language. And I went, what's this light language thing? It just suddenly appeared and it didn't happen in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't care what anybody says. It only started in the last couple of years. I go, these people are talking these alien languages and they don't really know what they're talking about. And they all sort of sound the same. And they're all over the world. We had a panel of them all over the world. So I said to the guys at the lab in the Jefferson University, I said, I'd like to know if these people all produce the same brain pattern, these light language people, to prove that they are actually doing something. We don't really know what they're doing yet, but they're doing something. And he said, yeah, we can do that. I'd love to do that. And then he said $50,000 plus expenses, traveling expenses for 10 people. And I said, oh, okay, maybe we'll leave that till later. And that's the problem we have. And that's what's happening now, is they're going to put money into the UFO thing, but it's going to go sadly just to people who are doing calculations. Just figure out the technology. You and I have the onus to try to, as much as we can, get the evidence of the philosophical and implications to this world that you and I are very familiar with. And that's the paranormal world, which is very important because it shows us something's wrong with our worldview. And we're on the leading edge of new ideas and people should listen to us. But I guess it's up to you and I to push that forward. And if we're getting help from the other side, eventually the synchronicities will line up and it will go exactly the way we want it to go. But we've got to keep active and doing what we're doing. And I appreciate you helping with the contact modality book. And let's keep going and maybe we'll do a second book. Because a lot of people are contacting us with other modalities and talking about this sort of stuff. We actually had to cut the book short. I think it was 400 pages. We actually had to cut it down because we had so much material. Once you get in the field and you start to realize you're on the right track, then it starts to flow. All the material comes in. Oh, I didn't realize this. I didn't realize. Even the Conan thing. Remember we did the Conan thing? With the idea of what's the one sound of one hand clapping? And I go, that's a modality. And it was. It's because it gives the left brain, is sitting there trying to figure out what's the sound of one hand clapping, and it shuts the left brain down. And we started to pick up these things. And when I first started, I thought there'd be 20 contact modalities. And when we finally did it, we had like 70. And there was a bunch that came after the book came through. So thanks for helping me. And let's keep going.
Thanks, Grant.